with and you're sort of on the same wavelength. Maybe you've never even met them before that day, but on that day, you meet them, and because you're so compatible, you're able to just have a conversation and it feels like you've known each other forever. There are some people like that. And then there's other people, though, that are the other kind of people that you talk to them and you've got to really try hard to talk to them. And you just kind of sit there awkwardly and look at each other. Unless you're a really big extrovert, you just kind of sit there, look awkward at each other, and you've got to fall back on these. So how's the weather? Or where did you grow up? And just the really sort of things like that. Well, my first college roommate was one such sort of a person that we just didn't click at all. In fact, and you know, I'm not talking about an enemy, because that's a different type of person. I'm talking about two types that at least you're amicable towards. You just maybe don't get super along with someone. And I'm talking about someone you remain neutral with, though, that unless you're forced to spend a lot of time with them or you're stuck with them in a room or something like that, then you just wouldn't talk to this person otherwise. My first college roommate, as I said, was like that. We did not click. And I first got his phone number before I went to college. And after much begging of my mom, because, you know, you got to figure out who's going to bring a trash can and things like that, apparently, even though we both had a trash can and it worked just fine. But I had to call him to figure out what was going on and who was bringing what, things like that. So I call him up, and at the end of this phone conversation, it was very obvious we did not get along, because he has since told me that at the end of that conversation, he was really worried he was just going to be rooming with a really wimpy, girly man. And I was really worried that I was going to be rooming with one of the least intelligent people I've ever come across before. And it did not hurt, or it did not help his case, that when we first get to college and he's unpacking his computer and stuff, he turns to me and says, "Why isn't AOL working?" Because he's got the modem from his computer plugged in with a phone cord into the Ethernet jack on the wall on a campus that has broadband, and he's wondering why he can't log in with AOL with the same phone numbers he used at home. And some of you, that doesn't mean a lot, but to me, I was just like, So I just didn't really get along with him right off the bat. But you fast forward a couple of weeks, though, after spending a lot of time with this person, because, hey, we were rooming together, we actually turned out to be pretty good friends. And actually, he was one of my best friends at college. And we've since laughed about how ridiculous that phone call was and our reactions about each other. I'm not entirely sure my reaction wasn't wrong. But no, it's funny how spending a lot of time with someone, even if you don't click with them right off the bat, actually means that you can become friends with them. And actually means you start to see this person, not for your first idea of them, but actually for someone else entirely. And there's somebody who's actually not that bad of a person to have a conversation with. Now, table those thoughts for just a little bit. I will talk about that more, but I want to start talking about what I'm really going to talk about, get to the main gist of it. And I'm going through right now what I want to give as this overview for Ridgeview, which is know, love, go, and disciple. And last week, I talked about know, and so I asked the question, what do you know? And some of you had some good jokes about me saying I don't like that question so far. But this week, I want to ask the question, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. And I'm really tempted to move my head back and forth right now, but I'm resisting. But before I start singing that song, let's hurry. First service didn't get that at all. They're just like, so. Let me get right to the text before I start singing What is Love, because that is a very sad song. And not sad, but sad pathetic. Just the Gospel of John, chapter 13, is where I'll be today. And we're just going to read two verses out of it, so we can read it several times by the end of the sermon, actually. But John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, they're not on the screen. I'm sorry I failed you again this week, and you'll just have to read it out of the Bible or listen carefully to my voice. So chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Since it's just two verses, let's read it again. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now those two verses are spoken by Jesus during the Last Supper. During that time, they're celebrating a Passover meal on the night that Jesus was actually betrayed much later in that night. And as we get into it, let's go ahead and pray before I start really discussing it, and we'll think about this new commandment that Christ gave his followers. So please pray with me. Lord, I thank you for your words here recorded for us that we can study and that we can talk about. Thank you for the opportunity to read these words in plain English for ourselves. I know that many people do not have the opportunity to read it in their own language, and I ask that we make use of the fact that we get to read your words. So thank you for this opportunity. Help us to understand this new commandment that you've given us. And in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'll have you know that I sometimes look up other preachers' sermons when I know what passage I'm going to preach. And so I sometimes just Google, you know, sermon on such and such, or even just that text. And so I'm on YouTube looking up these sermons. If I heavily borrow, I'll tell you guys, but I usually don't heavily borrow from anyone. But I find these two sermons that you're going to be happy I didn't heavily borrow from, because on these two verses, this one preacher, back-to-back Sundays, preached an hour and 15-minute sermon on 2 hour and 15-minute sermons on this text. So I just want to say you should be happy that I'm sparing you from that, because apparently it is possible to preach for over 2 hours on these two verses. I won't do that, though. Instead, let's just keep going before I derail completely, and I'll reread the verses. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, the context of these verses is important, since it's just two verses and you don't get a whole lot to run with. And I've already stated that this was the night of the first practice of communion, or the Lord's Supper, which we just practiced a minute ago. And in particular, what Jesus had just done, if you read the whole chapter of John chapter 13, is the beginning of the chapter, he washes the disciples' feet. And then right after he washes their feet, he calls out Judas. And Judas Iscariot's the one who betrayed him, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and sort of sold him out to the Sanhedrin for that money to say, I'll find the best time for you to come track him down and the way to pin something on him. And so Judas is now gone, and then Jesus has his true followers in the room, and he gives them this new commandment. And he says, love one another. But I don't know about you, but it makes me stop and think when I hear a new commandment is to love one another, because seriously, that's not very new. I mean, even back then, that wasn't very new. Back in Leviticus, which is, you know, here we're in John here. Back in Leviticus, which is like here, it has love your neighbor as yourself. There's all the way back there. And in fact, throughout the whole Bible, the several thousand years of history of the Bible, love is kind of a recurring theme. So you got to wonder, why is Jesus saying this is a new commandment? And it's not even original to the Bible either. Lots of religions and even non-religious people teach love. Lots of religions have the golden rule to treat others how you want to be treated. And actually, most religions have the opposite, not the opposite, the negative version of the golden rule, just don't do to others what you don't want done to yourself. And you got to wonder, okay, so love people. Why are you telling me this is new, Jesus? But the thing is, this is the first and only time in the Gospel of John he actually calls anything new. So he's actually, it's kind of a big deal that he's calling this new. Speaking of funny songs. But this is the first and only time that Jesus calls something new in the Gospel of John, at least. He references a couple other new things in other Gospels. But in John, this is the only thing that's called new. And we talk about Jesus doing lots of new things, and he did do new things. But this is the one time he calls it out and says, I'm doing something new here. And then he says, love each other. And so you got to wonder, really, what's new about loving each other? And so we'll read it again and pay close attention, because there is a little bit of a caveat that sort of does make it a new thing. It says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. And a little caveat is, I think, what makes this command new. Jesus asks his disciples to love each other as Jesus loved them. And what did Jesus just do? He washed his disciples' feet in a day where they wore open-toed sandals on dirt roads, so this is pretty gross. But what was Jesus about to do? He was about to die on the cross, even though he didn't deserve that, and others did, but he stepped up and died in their place instead. Jesus asks his disciples to love each other as Jesus loved them, which is a self-sacrificing type of love. See, love is not a new commandment, but that addition to it, as I have loved you, that part is a little bit new. Love when it costs you something. Love even to the point of death. Not love that you give to someone else what you wish back on yourself, but love on someone else that's even greater than what you want for yourself. That's higher than the golden rule. treat others as you want to be treated, it doesn't match up with this commandment here. It's more of maybe like the platinum rule, even though some TV shows and things like that have grabbed on the platinum rule and made it something else. I'm just trying to say it's better than the golden rule. It's higher here. In Philippians 2:3, Paul tells Christians, in humility, consider others better than yourself. And I think that's where Jesus is going here. Not simply love each other, but it's more than that. It's love each other more than you love yourself. And Jesus himself clarifies in the exact same speech, which lasts a couple chapters, in John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, just a couple pages over for most Bibles, unless you accidentally flip a bunch and fall back to your notes. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And that part sounds familiar to what we've already read. But then it goes on to say, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And I think it's fair to say that when Jesus said this to his disciples, he wasn't just talking about the 11 guys who happened to be in the room at that time. I think he's talking about all of his disciples he gives this command to. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have in the gospel here, "A new command I give you." Because then it'd be kind of silly to have this new command given to just the disciples and not really shared for everyone else. Then why would it be recorded in that way? And so I think this new command is for us as well. And so we have to ask, what is Jesus' new command to his disciples, which includes us? And that's love each other. And not just like you love yourself, not just how you want to be treated, treat others better than yourself. Treat others better to the extent that even if they demand your life, okay. Now, some of us here might be thinking when I say that to the point that it demands your life, some of you might go, "Hang on, whoa, whoa, whoa. What does it say in the Greek? Because, I mean, there's got to be some different meaning that can't be that extreme." And that's when I say, well, you know what? John's an interesting book because it's fairly simple to translate out of the Greek in John because he writes at a very low reading level, using our words. And like Luke's a lot harder because he writes at a very high reading level. But John doesn't. And so what you get in the English is pretty much what there is in the Greek in the Gospel of John. And so it's saying, love each other as Jesus loved you. Lay down your life for your friends. That's what it's saying there in plain English. Love each other with your lives. Love each other as though not your life depended on it, but someone else's life does. And then there's one more caveat to this command as well. There's another addendum there to this making idea of love into something new. And you might remember that I pointed out that Jesus had just dismissed Judas Iscariot before he gives this command. You might also remember that that someone lay down his life for his friends includes that little part for his friends. Jesus' new command is not a new command to love the whole world. And don't get me wrong here, that command exists and it's existed for a long time. There's the second greatest commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. But when it comes to Christians, there's a new command on top of that, and that's to love other Christians especially. We're supposed to love everyone, but we need to make sure that we really do love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Those are the ones with whom we should share a godly love wherein we lay down our lives for each other. And let me take a second to clarify love. I might go back to that earlier question of what is love? But is it right for God to command happy feelings about each other? Is love just feeling warmly about people here and just, you know, clicking with people? Because I said in the beginning of the sermon, there are people that you just click with and there are people that you don't click with. And is it saying that we should make sure we just click with everyone, get along with everybody, real chummy-like? I don't think that's what love is. It's not fair, actually, for God to command that because he gave us personalities, and some personalities just don't get along with each other. There are some people who attend RidgeU that I probably wouldn't ever spend much time with you if you weren't my brother and sister in Christ and were going to the same church as me, because it's nothing against that person, but we don't meet on the same wavelength. I just don't have easy conversations with people sometimes. And so it's not saying you just need to get along with everybody. It's saying you need to do things for other people. Because just getting along with everyone, that's not love. Love is taking action that benefits someone else. And that is love. How many actions have we taken to benefit others? And especially, I mean, how many actions have you taken for other Christians? Or how many actions have you taken for those in this congregation, for RidgeU Christian Church? Because we must remember that Jesus' new command to love as he loved us is a command that requires we start with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because Jesus didn't make this command to love as he loved, which is a love that forsakes even your own rights and even in your own life and even some of your own personality parts. But he didn't make that command for the whole world. He made that command for Christians to love other Christians. And I'm not saying that we don't love the whole world. We're supposed to do that. Jesus loved the whole world without reciprocal love back to himself. But I'm saying that if we can't start with loving each other, then why in the world do we think we've got anything to share with the world? If we can't love each other, the people who accept Jesus' gift of love, declared him the Lord of their lives, and have followed through in that declaration with baptism and other practices of faith, if we can't love those people, then how dare we think we can share something like love with the rest of the world if we can't get along with people that we agree with on some pretty major things, even if there's some minor things we disagree on? I think Jesus was onto something with this new command. He himself followed up that command with, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Jesus said that the world will know we are sent from the Son, who is sent from the Father, if the church loves itself. If the people in the church who are Christians love each other. And if they really do, then the world's going to know there's obviously something going on powerful with those people. And so I need to ask again, how often have we loved other Christians? Let's start in simple terms, besides just saying, how often have you loved other Christians? Say, how often have you loved other people here at Ridgeview Christian Church? And remember, I don't mean thinking pleasant thoughts about people, because, you know what, some people here you might not think pleasant thoughts about. I mean taking time to care for other people and do things for them. So how often do we love the people of Ridgeview? How many meals have you taken to or shared with other people in this church? And I don't mean the one or two families that you do get along with already, because that's just people you click with already. That's not love. That's just your personality acting on itself. So I'm talking, how often do you share time with people that you don't necessarily get along with super well, but they're your Christian brother or sister, so you take the time to get them to know them anyway? I mean those besides the ones you happen to get along with. And I know it's weird to think about that, and I mean we really just have to go through the motions in loving people sometimes, which is hard. Sometimes you have to force yourself to love. And it's weird thinking about going through the motions as a good thing, but love is a series of actions, and therefore going through the motions is a good thing. Going through the motions and just figuring out how to love someone is okay in this case. And some of us do an okay job with loving people in Ridgeview already. Some of us do an all right job with that. But as long as we have life to give, our lives are still able to be sacrificed more on behalf of our brothers and sisters. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote a letter and he congratulated the church at Thessalonica because they loved each other so well, actually. But then he added something in his congratulations to them. He wrote, "Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more." He says, you guys are doing a great job loving other Christians. Keep doing it more and more. So even if you're doing a great job, keep doing it more and more. This is a new command. Love each other. Do this more and more. And you know, it's 2014. By now, it's not really that new of a command because the time Jesus said that was around 2,000 years ago. But it still needs to be a new thought in our hearts every day, because sometimes it is just going through the motions to love people that you don't necessarily have a personality that clicks with those people. But if we do it, if we can manage to share love as Christ shared love with us, then the world would know that we're following the true living God. And I think that might be worth it then. So remember that you can do this, as the Apostle Paul wrote, more and more. But how do you start, though? If it's something that you can basically do into infinity until the day you die, then how do you work on that? Loving other Christians as Jesus' new commandment asks us to do is a really hard task. But as the saying goes, how do you eat an elephant? You do it one bite at a time. It's a really weird saying. But what's one first bite you can do? And I say that's join a life group. Remember that college roommate of mine? We didn't really get along at first. Our personalities didn't exactly click. But he and I are great friends. We've drifted a little bit because now he lives so many hours away and we don't get to talk that much. But he's still one of my favorite people. And you know why? It's because I spent a lot of time with him. And so if you spend time with each other, which is one of the big reasons for a life group, then maybe you might start to like and love people that maybe you wouldn't naturally get along with super well. And what does a life group do? It lets you spend time with people, maybe even people that you wouldn't otherwise consider your friends. But Jesus said that he's giving us a new command to love each other. So take the first step and try to do so. There's lots of other ways to do it too, but here's one way I know that we all can easily do. So we have several life groups here, and Norm actually already announced one of his, but I'll go and announce all of them that we meet right now. And I'd love to start more if these ones got too full, because we do need to keep them small enough to actually get to know people. But I'd love to start more if these ones got too full, but these are the ones we have right now. We've got three that meet on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. One meets at the Wellington Clubhouse, another one meets in this building in the gym, and another one meets at the Dooley Home, but it's ladies only. And then also, it's not technically a life group, but it's Men of His Word, and it falls in a lot of the categories of a life group. That meets at 8 a.m. on Saturdays, and that's men only. Another one meets Wednesday evenings at 6:30, and that's at my home. And Chris Brown, our Associate Minister of Youth and Family, is starting another one, although I didn't grab what date and time he's doing it on yet. But I know that he's starting another one. So find me or find Chris or anything like that and say, hey, I'd like to join a life group. And that's one of the reasons why you do this thing, is to get to know people so you can start to love them. And if none of those date and times work with you, then talk to me also, because then we know we need to get another one started on a different day. So joining a life group is just one way that we start to obey Jesus' command to love other Christians. And I would love to see everyone at church attempt this, and I'd love to see us do even more and more than that and go and do more in loving each other, but that's one way to start that process. But remember, the process keeps going until you've got no life left to give on behalf of others. There's an early church father, Jerome, who was just a couple generations of people taught by this guy was taught by this guy. Those are generations of church leaders. Jerome was just a couple generations removed from the apostles. And so he actually had somewhat firsthand knowledge of people like John, who wrote this gospel here. And so supposedly in John's old age, he had to be carried into the worship service when he was teaching. He wasn't able to get himself in the service, so they actually had to carry him and set him down so he could teach. But even in his old age, he would always begin his lessons with, "Little children, love one another." And apparently his people started to get tired of hearing "little children, love one another" at the start of every single message, even if it had nothing to do with that message. And as the story is recorded by Jerome, his disciples finally asked, "Why do you always say, 'little children, love one another'?" And this supposedly John replied, "It is the Lord's command. If this alone be done, it is enough." One author I read this week wrote this about the love that we should share with each other. "God's love does not question the worthiness of the recipient, but gladly gives of itself in humble service." And if we gladly gave of ourselves in humble service, regardless of the recipient, maybe that might be enough. So, in a moment, I'll pray, and please ponder how to more gladly give of ourselves in service to our brothers and sisters, in service to our brothers and sisters at this church of Ridgeview, and in service to our brothers and sisters in the church in the greater church and world around us. So please pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we can discuss your word and your messages and your commands recorded for us. Help us to accept these things that you've given us. Help us to know how to carry out this new command. Help us to take steps to do this more and more in our lives. Help us to be people who show your love amongst each other so that we can show the world that we come from you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the model for Christians to share love with each other is based off of Jesus' love for us, his first love for the world, because without the opportunity to be paid back, because everyone's going to worship Jesus no matter what, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, so there's no opportunity for him to be paid back in any special way. He gave up his life to stand in our place at judgment. Jesus asked to receive the punishment for everyone else so that there's no debt left to be paid. So if you'd like to discuss how Jesus paid your debts, or if you'd like to discuss anything else out of this sermon, then come forward and meet with me while we sing. So please stand, and Craig will lead us in a song.